Beloved, it is always a great joy for any church to have those who want to come into her membership. Those who want to take their vows before the living God and make their union and communion with any particular body. And we have that privilege this morning of receiving the Neubauer family into the fellowship and membership of this body. And I rejoice with them. We rejoiced. We had a great time yesterday, the session, meeting with this family and hearing their testimony as they confessed the mercies of Christ and how faithful Christ has been to them along the way. It's humbling to hear how the Lord works in the lives of His people. He's faithful. He's faithful when we're not. And the testimony is always the same. Oh, how faithful He is to show me the way I need to go and to press upon me the things I need to do and the changes I need to make. You know, that's the common testimony of God's people. It's not, you know, the Lord's people do not have the testimony of just fire assurance. You know, because ultimately, heaven is a byproduct of knowing God. It's not first and foremost. I'm here to tell you, beloved, if you have cried out to Jesus to save your soul from hell, you will not miss hell. Your desire must be to commune with God. He's it. He's your treasure. He's everything. And without Him, you're lost. And you'll perish. To have His face and His countenance shine upon you. Now, beloved, and to be brought into that relationship with the living God through His Son. He gave His Son that He might shed His blood so that people might be able to confess Him as God. When they stand up here and take their vows, beloved, it will be a great reminder of the blessings that God has bestowed upon all of us. And a blessing that God continues to save to the uttermost, as far as the curse is found. Beloved, we may not rest. We may not grow tired and weary until we see the nations discipled. Until we see the world brought to the knees and Jesus on their lips. Is that our heart? Is that our heart? I can tell you that's the heart of this family. And they expressed such joy to come into this fellowship. Before I asked them to come up and to take their vows of membership, we're going to have another treat. Even though they come by a profession of faith, we are going to have the privilege of administering covenant baptism. Now, I love baptizing babies. I love it. It breaks me down to baptize children. Because children are the perfect representation of God's grace and mercy. What can you do to save yourself? What can you do, adults? Strong and mighty, knowledgeable, you know it all. But you can do nothing to save yourself. And the baptizing of that little infant is a perfect picture of the saving mercies of God. Because we're totally dependent upon His grace and mercy, which is sovereignly administered. But this morning, we're not going to baptize any infants. So I have a great privilege and joy to baptize older children. Because you see, beloved, we don't believe in infant baptism. We believe in covenant baptism. We believe that when God enters into a relationship with a man or woman, preferably both, God's a God to that family, the whole family. Brothers and sisters, when God entered into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, empowered by His Spirit, everything that you have is consecrated and set apart to Him for His use at His disposal. Everything in your most prized possession is not your bank account. It's not your 401k. It's your children. Your children are your greatest assets. These children will never die. Their souls will live on forever. And the Lord has sovereignly placed them in each household under your care and under your government so that you might raise them in a Christian manner, in a Christian home. Beloved, your homes are Christian homes. And your children are considered Christian children. I know that's not popular today. It used to be. I tell you what, it was popular when this nation was a lot stronger. It was popular when there were great revivals breaking out. That God's a covenant-keeping God. And when God enters into a relationship with His family, with a man or a woman, He enters into a relationship with the whole family. And He bestows upon them those same promises that He gave to Abraham, beloved. I'll be a God unto you and unto your children after you. That's an everlasting covenant. Beloved, we're talking about baptism, covenant baptism. What is baptism? Baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. It's a sign and seal. It's not regeneration. It's a sign and seal of regeneration. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't believe, as the Catholics do, that baptism makes that child a Christian. We baptize because that child has a right to this sacrament. We baptize because that child has a right by virtue of being a Christian, federally Christian and set apart by God because that child was placed in a Christian home. It's sad to see Presbyterians thinking non-covenantally about things of this nature. Baptism is a sign and seal of what that child needs, the same thing that you need, and that is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said this, I baptize you with water. But there's coming one that will baptize you with fire. And I'm here to tell you, water baptism didn't save you. It's not going to save you, and it never will save you. It's the baptism of fire that saves. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's that baptism that you must have, and it's that baptism that baptism signs and signifies and seals when He sovereignly chooses to do so. That's why the confession points out that child could already be regenerated. The Holy Spirit could sovereignly choose to regenerate at the time of baptism or after the fact of baptism. It's not up to man's discretion. There's no magic formula that we can perform to make that child a Christian. That's why we don't call them Christians after they're baptized. That's why we don't call baptism a christening. That's why the Catholics call it a christening. They believe in baptismal regeneration. They believe that placing the water upon that child's head and performing all the ceremony magically makes that child a Christian. No, that's error. That's heresy. We don't believe that. Baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace whereby we are trusting and resting in God alone to do His sovereign work of grace. It's a sign of that child's need for cleansing. Only holy people are going to heaven. You know that. No dirty people going to heaven. Holy people. Jesus said you must be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And you must be cleansed by the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of cleansing. By this family bringing these children to this rite of baptism, they are saying to God, we are dependent upon you, O Lord, to save these children. To cleanse them of their sins because you can't teach them enough, you can't pray with them enough, and they can't do enough to cleanse themselves. It's a sign of ownership. There is a distinction between us and the world. There is a distinction between Christian covenantal children and non-covenantal children. It's the sign of baptism. It's a sign where they're given the sign and brought into the privileges and protections of the church. It's a means of grace. It's a sign of ownership. It's a means of grace because, parents, you're able to look at your children and say, you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're not acting like a Christian. You're not loving your brothers. You're not loving your sisters. You're not loving me right now. You're rebellious. You're hard-hearted. You are not living up to your baptism, young one. God has placed a sign of the sign of the covenant upon you. He's placed His mark upon you. He has called you His very own, and you're not living up to that ownership. It's a sign of ownership. It's a sign of the need of mortification. Beloved, if you've been born again, your sins have been forgiven. But the Lord has not chosen to take away the sin principle. He has saved that for glorification. There is a sin principle within every one of us that it has pleased God to leave, to chasten us, to humble us, and to cause us to cry out daily for His grace. Baptism is a sign that we are at war with sin. It's a sign that we are at war with sin within us and in the world. It's a sign that we are in God's army. It's the insignia of being in God's army. It's a sign that we are to fight the kingdom of darkness. It's a sign that we are to be at arms with Satan and his kingdom. It's a sign that we ought to charge hell and break down the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a sign of mortification of sin. It's a sign of newness of life. It's a sign of the newness of life because, beloved, God is life. There is no other life. There is no other path. There is nothing else but Him. He is life. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. And there is no life apart from Him. He only bestows life, and baptism is a sign of life. And it's a sign that only God can give it. Baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. Now, most of you have been baptized, if not all of you. You remember your baptism? Has everything I said stimulated and stirred you and incited you to live up to your baptism? Have you forgotten what baptism signifies? Have you forgotten that God is a covenant-keeping God? Have you forgotten that that baptism placed you in a covenantal obligations? And if you don't live up to those obligations, you are doubly cursed. See, we also believe in the cursings. That you just don't choose to walk away from God and everything's okay. Because it's not. Two paths of life, boys and girls, parents. The path of sin, misery, and destruction, and the path of life, everlasting. Baptism signifies all of that. I pray as we baptize these children, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice and remember your own baptism, but you'll rejoice with this family. And you'll rejoice with them because, beloved, when Abraham was told to go outside and to look up into the heavens and to count the stars, that we're part of those stars. And these children are part of those stars. When he said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, God meant every word he said. So we baptize based on the command of Scripture. Don't let anybody tell you the Bible does not command you to baptize your children. It does. It's found in Genesis 17. Because we believe what Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is authoritative and profitable and useful for instruction, correcting, and doctrine. All of it, not just the New Testament. So, beloved, let us rejoice because of our own baptism, and let us rejoice with this family as they bring their children up to receive the vows of church membership and baptism. I'm going to administer the vows of membership, and then we'll do the vows of baptism. Do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure and without hope save in His sovereign mercy? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel? Do you now resolve and promise and humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? Do you promise to support the worship and work of the church to the best of your ability? And do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its peace and purity? Amen. And now the vows of covenant baptism. Do you acknowledge your child's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you claim God's covenant promises on their behalf? And do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation as you do for your own? Do you now unreservedly dedicate your child to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before them a godly example, that you will pray with and for them, that you will teach them the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Amen. Before we administer baptism, let's pray. Father, we ask that you set aside this common water, Lord, to be a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. Lord, that what this baptism sign and signifies, oh, by your sovereign grace and mercy, you will apply. Oh, we rest upon you and your promises, oh God, because we are weak and pitiful and can do nothing in our own strength, Lord, to save our own children. So, Lord, bless this baptism. For the sake of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Blaine, I'm going to baptize you first because you're the oldest, okay? Yes. All right. Please stand here. Blaine Neubauer, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Come here, Gage. Gage Neubauer, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Asher Neubauer, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask the congregation to take their vow to love and to minister to this family. Do you as a congregation undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of these children by saying aye? Amen. Love, brother.
Let's pray.